Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host and facilitator, Athena Stewart. You are listening to Unapologetically Unashamed. We are so excited about this 7-year project to finally be launching. You are now a part of something that God is doing in this season for such a time as this. And we are just excited to be called to partner with Him in this journey. We'd like to open up the show in prayer, introduce our team, and then go into the first topic. Father God, we just say thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your grace and mercy on today, Father. We thank you for counting us worthy, Lord. You said in your word, many are called, but few are chosen, Father God. So we thank you on the merits that you have chosen us for such a time as this, Father God, for individually and collectively coming together to do a work in the kingdom, Father God, to be kingdom builders and take back dominion from the enemy on the airways, Father God, and on the mountain of media. Thank you, Father. Father, we ask that you would bless every woman who is listening to the sounds of our voice, Father God, that you would prep their heart, that you would cultivate the ground for true healing as it pertains to relational breakdowns, Father God. Shift the perspective, take off the false lenses, and open up the mindset. And we be so careful to give you forever the glory, the honor, the adoration, and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So good. We are here together, all of the experts on this project, and we just want to take some time to introduce you to your team. We have an amazing panel of women who are truly called by God in their own right, in their own individual ministries, to bring their anointing and combine to make this sweet fragrance that only God can do. So I'm going to turn it over and open up the floor to open it up to the team.
Hi, I'm Nashawn Holmes, and I am the CEO of The Movement Conservatory, and I'm a prophetic worshiper. I'm a trained dancer and also a teacher, and I facilitate workshops and other conferences to develop the worshiper on the inside, from the youngest to the most mature. And I just thank and praise God to be a part of this project.
Amen, amen. So exciting.
Hi, my name is Andrea Taylor, and I am a Christian life coach, a published speaker, and the CEO and founder of the Exchange Mentorship Academy, better known for Girl Talk. I also...
And hi, I am Pamela Thompson, the published author of the book, From Tragedy to Triumph, and I will be your expert on overcoming sorrow and grief of any kind, of any type of losses.
Hi, I'm Regina Cartwright Morales, and I'm the founder of The Singles Advantage. And what The Singles Advantage is, it's a resource and teaching ministry to prepare singles for marriage. We prepare people who have been divorced, people who have lost a spouse, people who have never been married. And so we prepare them for marriage as well as for the ultimate bridegroom, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Such a dynamic team. Just so excited for what God is doing in this project. We're just excited to have this podcast and this opportunity to speak to you in all ways possible in the medium spectrum. We're going to be looking at the topic relational breakdown as a whole. As we know that this project is titled Unapologetically Unashamed Presents Relational Breakdown, which is a 12-episode series over the span of 3 months that will dive in to many different topics as it pertains to relationship. Once again, I am Athena, and I'm here to teach you all things intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I do have an organization called New Beginnings Empowerment Center Incorporated, and we are here to serve broken women in our community and surrounding communities. With that, I'd like to open up in our scripture for this topic. It comes out of Genesis 2, 15 through 17, and it reads, "So God created and placed Adam, the man he made, and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. I love that. I love that word cultivation, because that's exactly what we're looking to do in this project, is help you to cultivate intimacy with Holy Spirit while working through the core issues that relational breakdowns have created over the span of your life, the traumatic experiences, the loss, and things that you felt that the enemy has stolen from you. God is restoring back time, and we are so grateful for that. And God commanded Adam, saying, "You may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree in the garden, but only from the tree of the knowledge, recognition of good and evil, you shall not eat. Otherwise, on that day that you eat from it, you shall most certainly die because of your disobedience." That is just a powerful scripture. And so we see here the conversation between the Father and his creation. We see the power of choice being given and the responsibility that comes with choice. We also see the consequence, whether good or bad, of our choices and our following decisions. And that really plays a big part into what we're going into. We've laid out some key points that we want to kind of throw around and talk about. We ask that you would just engage, have your mind, your heart, and your soul in the conversation, and just feel comfortable where you are to be vulnerable and transparent as you listen to the questions and the responses, and see where you relate between each expert. So when we think of relational breakdowns, what an amazing topic that is. The meaning of relationship is the connection of two or more people. And so when we think about relational breakdowns from a perspective of, what is my relationship with God the Father? What is my relationship with Jesus the Son? And what is my relationship with Holy Spirit, our advocate, our teacher, and our guide? When it comes to relationships, a lot of times the relationship between the three or one to another can be skewed or broken. It all depends on how you view relationship. It all depends on us being women, how we view the male species based on breakdown. For me, my father was very abusive. So my view on God the Father has not been, up until this year, what it should have been. I didn't see him as a comforting individual. I seen him as very powerful, very controlling, and almost felt condemned because of my sin. When I thought of Jesus, the Son, it was hard to see him as my Savior, because I just didn't have the empathy. I didn't have the perspective that someone could care enough for me to give up their life so that I could be saved. So while I did become saved at 12, as I began to mature and grow, there was a lot of inconsistencies on how I believed, what my faith looked like. I knew that it was important, and it was the one thing that brought me through a lot of difficult times, but there was still something missing. And that very thing that was missing was with Holy Spirit, the teacher and the guide. And that wasn't until last year, October 27th, I'll never forget the date, where I was in church that week and I realized I was missing something during worship. I just didn't feel like I got it. Everyone else went before God. You could see the emotion. You could see the worship and the praise come from a place that was foreign to me. And I questioned that. What am I missing? And God said, "You don't understand relationship and you don't understand intimacy." And so with those two things, my question was, well, how do I get it? Because you need quality in what you do. You need to be connected to what you're doing, especially when it comes to your faith. This is your foundation. And without that true, pure connection, we're honestly lost. And so it began a year of consecration to seek out who Holy Spirit was as an individual entity. Holy Spirit is his own person, believe it or not. He's part of the Trinity. But Jesus said he goes away, that he would send another. And this is the one who is to teach us, to guide us, to show us all the mysteries and things of God. Through him, we can truly know God the Father and Jesus the Son, because he's here to teach us just that. So it's imperative that we get that relationship. So Nashawn, if I was to pose that question to you, how do you see God the Father, Abba? How do you see Jesus the Son, and most of all, Holy Spirit? What would your response be?
So going back and going to when I first experienced, had that Christian experience and had a visitation. I needed a visitation. I was scared. I was fearful.
Wow.
Because I was raised by a 15-year-old single mom.
Wow.
And my father was not in the home, and he was actually a street man. He was a pimp. He was,
right.
And so I viewed God the Father as, for lack of a better phrase, a sugar daddy.
Mm. Wow. That's good.
And one that would, you know, if you stepped out of line or didn't do what he said to do, there were serious consequences quickly.
Wow.
And Jesus, my Savior, because my view of men was so warped and twisted from the gate, I just, why would he want to save me?
Right.
And, you know, he's way up there.
Yeah.
And I'm way down here.
Wow. So
and
good.
Jesus coming to my heart. My heart's too dirty for you to even look at, let alone come into.
That's good. Wow.
And Holy Spirit, my first experience with thinking about the Holy Ghost, I was scared. I'm this child, and you know, my grandmother was this evangelist, my mother's mom. And the Holy Ghost, and that freaked me out. I'm like, I don't want it. Get it away from me, you know? And it was like, so there, that the enemy, he twisted my view and used the spirit of fear to control and manipulate me through my relationships with the men in my life, and it manipulated and controlled my relationship with God.
Wow. And that's so good. What you touched on, a lot of things that we're going to touch on in this series, one of them being false lenses of the enemy, and how when we look, it's like looking through glasses. And he changes the lenses to distort what we actually
Absolutely.
See. So what we should see, we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we see it, we're forced to believe that we're seeing something different than what it is. We're in these abusive relationships. Being fearful of Holy Spirit and the gift of that is why we have that verse in the Bible. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. A, because it can be an intimidated process. B, it takes discipline, it takes sacrifice, and it takes consistency. So those are such good things that you hit on, and I'm so glad that you were transparent in that, because this is what it's about. It's about us being real.
Yes.
It's about us being open and authentic. We are excited about the Unapologetically Unashamed community that's going to house a safe environment for you all to have just this conversation.
Yes.
Just real stuff so that we can work through it and be better and have a quality of life the way the Father designed us to have.
Amen.
And so I'm going to open the floor for whoever wants to jump in next and kind of share your experience on the topic.
Okay. Well, my experience with Father God was different because I grew up without my father. And so because I grew up without a father, I didn't really know what real love even looked like.
Wow.
Even thought about, because I didn't have any men in my life that I felt like I could trust. I had uncles. I love my uncles, but they were not there every day. So I grew up without this father. But when I looked back on my life and I started seeing so many things that I made it through, that I made it out of, and I was like, wow, God really was there. Wow. He really was there. Even when I wasn't even paying attention to him, he never left me. He was always there. I think about different shootouts and different places I had myself. Why did I go to those places? Right. I will never know. Right. The shootings happen quite often.
Yeah, right.
But I just looked back on my life and I was like, wow, God, Father, I didn't have anybody that I could call daddy.
Right.
And I always tell my daughters they don't know how privileged they are because I never got to say those words
right.
to anybody.
Right.
Wow.
Nobody. And so it was like, wow. And when I looked back and I'm like, wow, God does love me because he protected me from so many things.
Yes.
Even the choices that I made to get myself into situations, I realized he was always there
so
protecting
good.
Me. And I got out of those situations.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. It was my first time ever saying like, Father.
Yeah.
Abba, Father.
Wow.
It was the best feeling ever
to
know that somebody like loved
Looking
me
for
real, for
yeah.
real.
So good.
And so when I think about Jesus, I was a very obedient child, and my mother would agree with me if she was listening on here. I was always like the one to follow rules. So when
we
it came to
that.
Jesus, so when it came to Jesus, I just think about every time in the Bible he just always said, "I come to do the will of my Father," and so I was just like so just taken by Jesus, this obedient person that no matter what trials came. He always said, I come to do the will of the Father. So he became the greatest example for me of what obedience looks like. And so I was just in love with Jesus, amazed because I that's my heart, is to be so obedient that whatever the Father asked me to do, I want to be like Jesus, my
come
greatest
on.
Example.
Come
and
on.
I want to do those same things because
yeah.
I look at how Jesus walked. When he prayed for people, people were flocking to him because
right.
they knew that when I got to him, whatever it was that I had going on, he was going to clear me of it, heal me,
Amen.
Deliver me, whatever
yeah.
it was. So
okay.
I was like, this is my greatest example. So when I think about Holy Spirit, I am like a Holy Spirit fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, I battle with so many people because they were like, holy who?
Yeah.
And I'm like, the Holy Spirit, he's my friend. And they're like, he's your friend. I'm like,
so
I talk to him.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit, I kind of feel like was always there.
Yeah.
But he was all, I would always say the Holy Spirit is my friend. And he
yeah.
was somebody that I could talk to. But he would lead me, guide me, comfort
Amen.
Me. Even
Amen.
When I think about the loss of my daughter, the greatest comfort I could have ever had was the Holy Spirit. A lot of people ask me, did I get counseling? I said, I had the chief counselor.
Right. Come
on.
So good.
And so that was my relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit.
That's so good. I love how you were able to see him in spite of circumstance and situations. And the scripture that popped up, which we'll be going through in this series, is when God made Adam and Eve clothing.
Mm.
How through their I like to call it self-inflicted wounds,
oh, yes.
through their poor decision, they made leaves, which was uncomfortable, which was
right.
itchy, right? Which didn't fit right. It was all wrong. And it reminds me of how we make decisions that are just all wrong
yes.
because
hard.
We want to be grown, right?
Real.
We are.
That's
we
real.
Have the answers. And it's the same thing that happened in this deception when they bit the fruit. That
mm-hmm.
disobedience, it was more saying, I want to be in control,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
We allowed ego and pride to now take root. But Abba was just so kind and loving to kill the first sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
He had to kill something to get this skin to make clothing. So he was willing to sacrifice something for us to clothe us, which was in that moment a form of reconciliation that I forgive you in spite of. I told you not to do this, but you still did it. So when you spoke that, it just reminded me that he was doing that very thing for you. He was trading your bad choice for protection. And that's what salvation is protection.
Mm-hmm.
God protecting us. God being our warrior, our ram, right? Our
yes.
shield and
yes.
buckler, our wings of feathers that we hide in that secret place. So good, Pam, so good. We'll open the floor.
Okay, I guess I can go next. I had a perception of God as a child. My grandfather got saved after a confrontation with my grandmother. He came home drunk one day and he messed with the wrong woman. She cut him And he had a come to Jesus meeting after that. So we started going to church, and he was a deacon, and he would take me to church, and I would sit on the front row. And you know, when the deacons get together in a Baptist church in Oakland, and the spirit hit me, you know, I just started crying, and I didn't really understand why.
Yeah.
But then later on, you know, I would see things that would go on in the church as a child that I didn't like, a lot of backbiting and hypocrisy, and that really turned me off, and I didn't really want to go to church anymore. Yeah. The only time I would want to go to church is during a funeral or a wedding. But I had the knowledge of God and Jesus.
Absolutely.
But I always said I want to serve God without the middleman. And that was my attitude growing up as an adult. So the Lord had to get my attention another way. So September the 20th, 2001, I was at a beauty salon in Pittsburgh. Fifi's Beauty.
Fifi
Beauty. Pittsburgh, California.
Come on.
It was a 7 o'clock p.m. It was a late appointment. And we were the only ones in the beauty salon.
And
she would always play ministry tapes, and I would just sit there. I was being respectful, but you know, I was kind of listening but not listening. But all of a sudden, the spirit hit that beauty salon, felt fire come through my body.
Wow.
And then she started jumping up and down and speaking in tongues. I didn't really understand what she was doing because I didn't understand the Pentecostal, or I didn't understand tongues or things like that. And that night, I gave my life to the Lord.
Wow.
I drove home my little Volkswagen Bug. I was weeping.
Wow.
I felt so convicted.
Wow.
And from that day forward, I never looked back.
Wow. Amen.
Never looked back.
Jesus.
That was real.
I could feel that.
That was real.
Wow.
So God got my attention another way.
Amen.
And then I start seeing him as the Father, my Father.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how my beginning was.
Wow, that's so good. You know, what I heard in that story, just a beautiful story, is go to the beauty salon. look for Fifi.
Look for Fifi.
Fifi salon. But
the Holy Spirit show up anywhere.
Anywhere.
Doesn't have to be in the church.
Amen. Mm-hmm. What I heard is how the enemy can use church hurt.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. How we can view people in position, and when there's a breakdown in that relationship of a pastor or a deacon or an usher, and we see them as portraying what God should look like to us, and they fall from that position of faith that we put them on, how that can put those false lenses on, right? And we begin to see the church in a negative light because we associate God with the people of God, with the church.
It's real.
And what that says to me is, A, it's religion, right? It's a false lens of religion. But B, we don't understand relationship.
Right.
Because if we're equating God to the ability of man, to the personality and character of man, then we are sadly mistaken. Because God is higher. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So there's no way that we could encapsulate him in the ability or non-ability of any man.
That's right.
No matter who's standing where. And so that just opens up the conversation that how many of us are looking at people and putting them on pedestals and making them the example of who God is, right? And not having a relationship with God himself. Amen. That's so good. And that's where church hurt derives from. And God bless us to be able to shift those perspective and mindsets. That's something that we definitely want to do through this series for those who have been hurt by the church, for those that have that wrong perspective or perception on this is how the church is because this is what I've experienced. That's not God's heart for us.
Thank you.
And we want to clear up that misconception on who God is and understand that we are all in this fallen world wrapped in this carnal flesh and that we will disappoint. Mm-hmm. We're human. And so we have to be forgiving. And we have to be open and vulnerable to forgive those who have failed us in the eyes of God as it pertains to the church. So, Andrea, we'd let you answer the question posed.
Yes, you know, I just got to start off by saying God is just so good. And
amen.
My perspective and my encounter started at a very young age. And I just had a sense of knowing that God was real. I had a sense of knowing that he was speaking to my heart. And as a young kid, I would have these encounters where I would hear these whispers where God would say to me, like, he would say things like, "You're my favorite."
Amen.
And it, I mean, even when I say it, it takes me all the way back. I know exactly where I was at when he was saying those things to me. And I can't, it was like my heart would just open up. Mm. And I really was like, "I'm his favorite? Wow. I'm his favorite?" Yeah. Until I got older and saw that there were other Christians that thought the same thing. Wow. And I was feeling some kind of way. I was like, you told me. You know, but it was also refreshing to know that I wasn't alone in this world. That he was really illuminated, and people just like me had the same experience.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You know, and he would whisper things to me even as a young girl. I like to lead just like I'm doing now. I would have a clubhouse, and people in my complex, I lived in an apartment complex, and people in that complex, we would do different types of gatherings. Mm. But on this particular day, I had cut myself.
Wow.
And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Take that plant, slit it open, take the gel, and put it over the cut and wrap it up in a Band-Aid." And I did that, and I just knew I was healed. Mm-hmm. I took that Band-Aid off probably 30 minutes later because I was excited to see it, and it was completely healed.
Wow.
It was completely healed. Wow. So when I think about just the Lord just speaking to me and having those encounters, he really was a father to me. I was oblivious to not really looking at the breakdown of not having my father in my life and having a stepfather that I didn't really respect. Mm. But God would definitely, you know, bring that full circle and let me know that I was truly a father to the fatherless.
Wow.
So just the encounters and the experience of knowing who God is and how he speaks to us, it's just something that you don't want to deviate from.
You thirst and
you yearn for him. And that's been most of my life. All of my life. I was 9 years old when I got saved.
That's so good. Awesome. So good. Yay. As you can see, there's just such a dynamic of experience, of life experience, and how that relates to God and how that relates to relationship, the breakdowns, the bad and the good and indifferent. And it's just so amazing to be able to experience God at a young age and keep that even up until now, to the point where now your ministry is to incorporate that into the young girls in our community and the women in our community to help the breakdown. And I'm just so grateful to be amongst such strong women who are all strong in their own right. And now we are collectively coming together to be a force to be reckoned with, taking down the enemy.
And he is going down in Jesus' name.
So if we were to keep the topic going, we want to look at perspective. Perspective on relational breakdowns, because perspective is important. There's a saying, you don't know what you don't know. And you don't know to do better if you don't know how to be better. And so we want to bring in practical ways to shift the perspective towards God's heart and not towards broken relationships or misconceptions or manipulation, but just shift that perspective in a healthy life. So if we were to look at Adam and Eve, I want to read a small little piece that Holy Spirit had highlighted to me as a result of eating the fruit. And it said, "This action of choice enabled us to obtain knowledge, metaphorically expressing our choice to be emancipated from the love and guidance of our Heavenly Father." And so what that's saying is, when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, even though it was carnally a tangible fruit, it had a spiritual component to it. It had a spiritual consequence. And that was literally, in essence, saying, "God, I can make my own decisions and I can figure things out on my own." And I feel like that's a lot of places that we've been as a result of relational breakdown, where we've taken the reins and said, "I can't trust you, God, because the people that I should have been able to trust broke that trust for me. So I don't know how to trust you even if I wanted to. So let me try to figure it out." And I don't know about you, but at 38, I have a long list of self-inflicted wounds. Yes. And I'm suffering the consequences of those, because God never said when you met him in salvation and you found repentance that it would wash away the consequence of choice. Some things you have to walk through. Yeah. And it's not because it's his heart for us to suffer, but it's the only way that we can align with him. Mm-hmm. We can learn how to be better through our mistakes. Grace and mercy will abound. That's he will provide, right. But you will still have a little bit of sting of that there, self-inflicted wound and that choice. Yes. And so if we see this metaphorically, what happened in that time of eating that fruit is we were emancipated from God's guidance. We broke the connection. And so in this series, we're going to really be touching on the five spiritual senses. And in this moment of breaking that bond with God, breaking that relationship, spirituality took a backseat and carnality came to the forefront.
Absolutely.
And so now the challenge for us is, how do we bring our soul to the forefront of everything that we are and push our carnality to the back in its rightful place?
Right.
How are we led by our soul through Holy Spirit and not by our carnal mindset, our desires, our lack of discipline, our lack of inconsistency? So if we continue with the perspective of relational breakdown, we see that we now make the statement through our actions that we would rather gain knowledge to try and control our lives rather than trusting God to take care of us. And we see this so much in religion. If we read the Bible, we can go to, I'll just say from my experience, how many services I've sat in where individuals have taken what sounded good out of the Word of God and twisted it to make it sound or to work for what their perspective was and not for what the Word of God actually stated. Taking things out of context. It's I'm going to take this scripture and put it with this to fit the situation. And so we then begin to try to, through a false perspective, manipulate the Word of God to fit our life. And so then we play the blame game because, well, your word says this, but I still am living like this. But what I've come to know in perspective and knowing God and his character is that God always gives direction and then there's a promise. And too many times we want to take the promises of God and leave out the direction of God.
Real.
Therefore,
right.
having
That's
a wrong a perspective.
Right?
The promise has a pathway. There's a pathway to every promise that we are to stand on. Are they promises for us? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But the direction is the pathway to
That's
the promise.
Right.
You
right.
can't have one without the other.
Right.
And too many times now we are continuing in the process of broken relationship and broken perspective because we're not following the direction of God and we're not applying the principle of the Word of God to our lives so we can't become better.
Right.
Wow.
So, you know, if I was to pose a question for this topic, it would state this. Take a moment to explore this topic of relational breakdown. Once again, relationship means the way in which two or more people are connected or disconnected. Can you identify relational breakdowns in your life and the perspective you may have used to view these breakdowns? What does that look like to you? When I think about this, I think about responsibility and accountability. Because my father molested me, I don't have to forgive. Because I was in a domestic violence situation, I'm allowed to protect myself, even if that gets me out of character or, like we say, out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong perspective. I don't have to be accountable for defending myself in a physical situation because I'm defending myself versus I remove myself from that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy has skewed our perspective to where we stay in situations, in relationships, because of false perspective. Mm-hmm. And we react to situations that are not like God because of what someone else's response was.
Right.
And even being saved and in the faith, we have to understand that our perspective has to be the perspective of Christ. We can't respond in relationships the way we feel like it warrants a response.
Right.
We have to be in tune with Holy Spirit and have him guide us on how to respond. Therefore being discerning in our spirit and discerning the enemy so that he will flee. The Word of God says that resist the devil and he will flee.
Yes.
How can I resist him if I don't discern him? How can I discern if I'm not in touch with the five senses of the spirit? So perspective cannot shift until we align ourselves both carnally and spiritually and flip the script. Carnality to the back and soul and spirituality to the front. So if I were to open up the floor on anyone who wanted to jump in, what are some situations that your perspective was skewed? You know, if I had to answer that just to open it up, and I was thinking of my 20-year relationship, and I really have to think about it because there's a lot I could put out there. I remember a domestic violence incident where I was hit and my jaw was displaced. And opposed to defending myself in a responsible way, which would be to call the cops, right? And get myself out the situation, I decided to hit him back. And that consisted of a vase and a TV. Because of perspective, because of how I was brought up, you responded the way you saw others respond. But that wasn't of God, right? The responsible way would have been to call the authorities and remove myself from the situation and not go back to it. But I continued to facilitate it. And not only that, I had a child who now was privy to that behavior. And this is where we're going to talk about generational curses and how that comes in. So on a perspective, my perspective was built on what I saw. I saw my father hit my mother and my mother defend herself until she couldn't defend herself no more and had to remove herself, which broke down relationship in its own right. So now here I am responding in the perspective that I saw displayed before me. So that was my perspective. I didn't have any other perspective to introduce. That's the beauty of this show, is we want to introduce a new perspective to maybe your skewed perspective. If you had to come from that angle, what did you experience that shifted your perspective on relationship and you now behave in a type of perspective that maybe was not healthy?
For me, I just think about when I was standing at the altar to get married.
Oh God.
And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Don't do it."
Wow.
Don't do it. But I'm standing there. I have a 2-year-old daughter.
Jesus.
And I'm set because I had told him that I was moving back home with my mother. And he was like, "Well, I bought this apartment for us, so we'll just go to the courthouse versus having a wedding."
Wow.
But I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Don't do it." But in my mind, I was thinking, okay, I grew up without a dad.
Yeah.
I cannot do this to my daughter because she's going to have the same mentality that I had growing up, because I felt like if I don't marry him, he won't be in her life because my dad wasn't in my life because he was not married to my mother. And I remember standing there and the Holy Spirit said, "Who told you that?"
Wow.
And I was just thinking, because I thought that because mine wasn't there, I'm getting married anyway because I want my daughter to have her father.
That's
even
good.
Though I knew I was not ready, he was not ready. Relationally, neither one of us was ready to do this, but
so good.
I had told myself, because of what I saw, that I'm doing this anyway and I'll just have to suffer the consequences.
Wow.
Not realizing the suffering that I had to go through
was by
my choice not to listen.
Come
because
on.
I heard the voice just like I'm talking now.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I remember, and he didn't ask me who told me this until last year. I was doing a Facebook Live, and I'm just talking about going through the tragedy of my daughter's death, and I started talking about how I got married knowing I shouldn't, and sitting there on the live, nobody knew. The Holy Spirit was like, "But who told you that you had to marry him in order for him to be in her life?"
Come on.
Because that's what you saw. You thought that that would be the same for her. Ooh. But what if he would have taken care of her? Now you never know. And now I cause myself a self-inflicted wound of being married, knowing neither one of us had seen a marriage, first
Come
of
on.
All, a good one. Neither one of us knew how to be married.
Come on.
But because I had this thought,
Come on.
Because of what I saw.
Come on.
I cost myself a lot of years of stuff that I shouldn't have had to go through. And the Lord didn't want me to because he spoke to me right then. But I made the conscious choice not to listen.
Come on.
Wow.
And that represents that emancipation from the guidance of the Father. That even though you're speaking to me, I know what I need to do. And I know what's right in this situation, God. And what would it look like if we just got in a position to where we would listen to God and just move in what he tells us to move no matter what it looks like? What would it look like to just surrender and come into alignment with the Father? What would it look like to operate in the five spiritual senses and they be heightened more so than our five physical senses? Instead of feeding ourselves, we fasted more. Instead of filling our ears with gossip and television shows, we filled it with worship music and the word of God by speaking it out. What would it look like instead of smelling the wrong stuff and sniffing up the wrong conversations, that we just desire to smell the fragrance of the Father through his anointing and through his glory that would fall through worship? Just what would it look like if we operated from a spiritual perspective? That's so good, Pam. I'll open it up before we go on to the next topic.
So for me, that relational breakdown, verbal abuse, being conditioned. As a little girl, my mom was 15.
Yeah.
And so we grew up together.
Wow.
She did not have a clue on how to be a mom. She was learning as she went.
That's good.
And I didn't help, not one bit, just being all this energy, all this just bubbly and just always wanting to interface and wanting to jump around and wanting to be, you know. I danced when I had food. I danced when I was going to a birthday party. I danced to school. I saw a movie. What was that movie? The Wiz. Mm-hmm. Did that dance in school through the hallway going to class. Mm-hmm. Just always moving. Wow. Always moving in that. That worked my mother's nerves so bad. She was just like, little girl, you're going to sit down somewhere. But the verbal abuse, it conditioned me to be a doormat.
Come on.
It conditioned me for future relationships to just take whatever was said.
Yeah.
I literally became a garbage can for whatever venting, whatever anybody wanted to say.
Yeah.
And it was like I was targeted because it was like people knew they could come to me and say anything and I would not respond.
Wow.
I would just say, just sit there and take it, or I would take it a little further and go, yeah, you're right.
Wow.
And they would be wrong.
Wow.
Wrong is two left shoes, but because I thought that I needed to be that.
Yeah.
To be accepted.
Yeah.
To be loved. That's what it looked like to belong.
Come on.
To be in relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
I wanted friends.
Yeah.
I wanted to be seen.
Yeah.
Not in the aspect of performance wise, although that's what the enemy did early on. He warped the need for belonging and attention because God wires us that way.
Yeah, he does.
But he warped that sense to, you know, beat me down to the lowest common denominator. And then I would accept whatever.
Come on.
And I began to make choices.
Come on.
Seeking out and picking out that familiar personality in friends, in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I started to people please.
Come on.
I started to perform like I have to be this way for them to accept me.
Yeah.
And after I became a Christian, after I became a believer, that was the biggest struggle, the biggest spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Having to learn how to believe God, that I didn't have to do all of that. Mm-hmm. I love you as you are. I made you.
Yeah.
I love you as you are. All those layers that you piled upon yourself, making the choices that you made.
That's good.
I'm taking those things off, and I love you for who you are.
That's good.
And being able to now walk that out with the relationships that I have is priceless.
Yeah.
Can't pay for that.
That's good. I what I heard a lot in that is your perspective on your self-worth was completely skewed. Just, and how many of us have a false sense of worth because of what we've experienced and the perspective that we've developed on how a woman should feel about themselves. You see it every day. Women don't even comb their hair to go into the store. They don't put on clothes. They go in their pajamas, it's house slippers.
Yeah.
I don't know the next woman I see who doesn't do her back of her feet and scrub them down. It's funny, but it's how much do I feel worthy enough to take care of myself?
My
body, my temple, not for anyone else, but because I'm worth a pedicure, I'm worth a manicure, I'm worth combing my hair, I'm worth brushing my teeth and washing my face first thing in the morning, not when company's coming.
Yeah.
But it's broken.
It's true.
It's broken.
Come
we don't
on,
have
true.
Worth. But if we go deeper, we don't know our identity.
Yeah.
If I don't know who I am and whose I am, nothing else matters at that point.
Right.
If I'm known to be a doormat, if I'm known to be submissive, if I'm supposed to be underneath and not on top, then that's how I present myself to the world. And it's happening in our mothers, it's happening in our younger children, and it's become an epidemic in that sense. We got to move on to the next topic. If there's anybody else wanted to throw something in on there before we go to the next one, we're good. So let's move on to core issues that stimulate from relational breakdown. I feel like this is the most important, one of the most important key points is core issues, the nucleus, because it is the core of a thing that everything else is developed. The foundation of who we are starts at those core things. I could tell where my core issue started was being molested at 5. I could tell you what I had on, what the house looked like, what the room looked like, and what that situation felt like. But out of that, so many other things developed. Shame, introvertness, where I didn't want to really be seen by people, not feeling comfortable in my skin, really feeling like I had to accept behavior because I had a brother who was disabled. So if I left him, no one would take care of him. So I still have to stay here. I can't tell anybody what's happening because we'd go to a foster home and we'd be separated. So now I'm taking the responsibility of my parents to be a parent, not even knowing how to be a child. And you fast forward that to the five senses of the five spiritual senses. When your imagination as a child and your innocence is stolen, you don't have an easy time tuning into those five spiritual senses because there's a disconnect. When trauma happens, it manipulates the frontal lobe of the brain, is where you remember things. It's kind of your storage center, and your trauma is where that stops developing. But Holy Spirit had always been with me. Now that I look back and I knew, I understood what I was going through without fully understanding, if that makes sense. I knew that this was supposed to happen and I need to react this way because of the needed outcome.
Right.
So if we look at core issues, and I'm just going to read a synopsis. At some point in our journeys, we have all experienced relational breakdowns. From small misunderstandings to major breakups. Since we all have been born into sin, we all have, through self-inflicted wounds, bad decisions, contributed to a breakdown of relationship in some way. I think that's important to look at because for women, a lot of times we are victimized, but we become the victimizer. in some scenarios, right?
Yep.
And it doesn't mean that we're inflicting anything on anybody, but we're accepting. Mm-hmm. So we allow, let's just say, the men that we encounter to be who they are because we don't speak up. So in a sense, we're victimizing them because we're not calling them out. One thing I do now when it comes to my relationship is I call out the bad behavior when it happens. Because I'm responsible and accountable that he needs to know that that's not okay. That doesn't mean it's gonna change, but that means that you're creating a boundary that says that's not okay. You're exposing the enemy to saying, I see you, that's not okay, that's not healthy, that's not normal, and not sweeping it under the rug.
Yeah.
With the understanding that I don't expect really for you to change in that moment, but if I continue to call that thing out, that core issue will always stay before us until one of us says, okay, that's not gonna change, let's move on. So we have to understand that sometimes we have responsibility in what we accept. So if I were to pose the question, now take a moment and highlight the key reasons of your relational breakdown. What was or is that core or specific cause as it relates to your personal or current, your personal, current, or past relational breakdowns? Go ahead.
Because of the verbal abuse and all that doormat stuff, and learning how to people please.
Come on.
I learned how to victimize the relationships in my life.
Come on.
By becoming a manipulator. I learned how to play on people's emotions.
Come on.
How to, I would, certain posture, certain eye contact that triggers people to give you what you want. Believe you need. So I would do that. I would, you know, play on people.
Yeah.
And, poor me, and oh my God, I'm just gonna. And it would be just, and they would just be like, oh, here, and just, what do you need? And here you go. And I'd be like, oh, thank you so much. I just, and walk away like, hey, I've got away with something. And I wasn't getting away with anything. Still broken. Still people pleasing. Because I turn around and take whatever I had gained. And turn around and give it to the person that I was being abused by. And this vicious cycle that I had gotten myself into by my free will and my free choices.
Come on. And we do that. As women, we have ability to manipulate. It's just who you, it's the essence of who you are, right? I learned how to do that well. It's called stroking the ego.
Come on.
I know how to get what I want when I want it.
Yeah.
No matter what that looks like. And it ain't healthy.
No.
Right? And we do that so many times in relationships, is we manipulate the situation to get what we want, perpetuating the unhealthy cycle.
We just keep it going.
We keep it going because it's not about breaking the core issue. It's not about exposing the bad behavior or the bad habits that are perpetuating this infection. We just want to get by. Right?
It's true.
Just about getting through.
Ouch.
And what does that look like, right? But what does it look like if we don't have this situation? We feel like we're losing something if we don't continue going in this. But if we go deeper and we're talking about core, the core, we don't know how to feel outside of that unhealthy environment. I remember a first date driving down Malibu, and it was the first time I felt peace, like true happiness, like, oh my God, this is weird. I felt uncomfortable in my skin, like, I'm happy. I knew I was happy. And I'm looking at him like, oh, wow. And immediately, I began to look for something to break the happiness.
There it is.
I zoned in on, we're almost out of gas. And I said, sir, we need gas. And I could tell it challenged his ego. And he's like, I know what we need. And I kept going, sir, this is a two-lane road. And if we run out of gas, somebody gonna hit us from behind and we gonna go over the cliff. anything I could do to get back into my comfort zone of unhappy, broken, depressed, down and out, oh, woe is me, whatever I, and this is a new relationship. This is the first date. We ain't even made it to the horses yet. But I wanted to break that thing because I was so uncomfortable in the newness that was healthy.
Yeah.
How many times do we turn away true happiness and healthy relationships because they don't look like what we're used to seeing them look like?
Wow.
And I must say, through this group of just having you guys as my sisters, it has showed me what healthy relationship looks like. Yeah. What cultivating healthy relationship looks like. What being transparent and open looks like. I wouldn't do this with none of them heifers, I'm gonna be real, that I've known in my past, because it'd be on social media when they got mad. It'd be in a conversation when they got mad. And you knew that's what it was, but you would still tell your business, even though she told Shaquita's business to you just last week, right? So I know you done showed me who you are, but I'm still gonna tell you my business, knowing that you ain't a secret keeper.
Wow.
So it takes us to be in tune with Holy Spirit, even in the relationship that we accept, so that we don't continue along the lines of our core breakdowns, our core issues of relationship. And it's something about being aligned with the Father that you know when you meet somebody that they're aligned with God and you're aligned with God, and now you're changing that common denominator, which is you. It's such a beautiful thing. Anybody else want to jump on that topic? We got a few more minutes because we are over our hour time.
Oh, wow.
Amen.
Oh.
Go ahead, Pam.
So I just think about the core issue of having low self-esteem, low self-worth.
Come on.
That causes you to, we teach people how to treat us.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When we continuously take things that people do, but when our self-esteem is low, we think it's okay.
Yeah.
And then that's all we've ever seen or all we've ever known.
Yeah.
And we're just doing this, not really realizing that we're just packing it on and building on top of something that, like I said, we teach people how to treat us.
Yeah.
And so then when you get into that right mindset, though, and you begin to change, like you said, you begin to speak to things and be like, okay, no, I know I used to accept that, but okay, not anymore.
Yeah.
And then, but it challenges the relationship because that other person is like, wait a minute, this is how it's always been.
Right.
But then you begin to stand up for yourself and realize, like, that's, I can't take this anymore because now I know who I am and whose I am.
Come on.
And no longer am I going to walk in that place of the past where I didn't know who I was. My self-worth was just like way down.
Yeah.
And then for me in my relationship, it was like, wait a minute.
Come on.
But it was like, okay, now I understand that I deserve this type of better treatment. I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it then, but I didn't know it. And so now that I know, it's like,
that's,
I got
good.
It.
That's
so
good.
Now I have to speak to any kind of person that wants to come to me a certain way. And they're like, wait a minute, this always was, but it's like no more.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's what we want to do in this conversation, is expose you to what it should look like. What does the Father's heart look like for us in relationship? And I feel like that's the point of what he's trying to do through this relational breakdown series. I love that. What came to mind when you were speaking was darkness cannot be where light is. And if we just align ourselves with the Father, even in our homes and our relationships that may be broken, and we continue to expose what it should be like versus what it currently looks like, it will. It has to change, because the anointing and the power of God that you display will eliminate the power of the enemy. Will that take time? Absolutely. But you keep going at it. You keep being consistent, and it has to change. I'm a witness. I've seen it. I've seen a drastic change in my home. We can't be frustrated when it's not instantaneous. We have to remember that it didn't take 5 minutes for us to get into this state. It took years. And it's not always going to take 5 minutes to get out. Not that God cannot do it, but there's a work that needs to be done in the process. And you have to surrender and respect the process, because he knows what he's doing. He said in his word, I'll turn all things bad out for your good for those that love him. So if he's going to turn that thing around and he said it, he didn't say instantaneously. Amen. Yes. So I want to close in a conclusion for this particular session. Just as God gave Adam responsibility in the Garden of Eden, God also gave us all the gift of choice. Despite our life's experiences, we still have a choice. And with that gift of choice comes many decisions with attached consequences. The same is true today. God gives us the right to choose, and at times the decisions we make may be poor and in that cause us pain. But God is a just God and uses those very painful things to help us grow by making better choices, which leads us to mature perspectives. Living with the outcome of our decisions is one of the best ways to become more responsible. Choice at the end of the day presents us with two options: obedience, which is rewards of disobedience, and consequences. We want to thank you for joining the conversation and listening to episode 1 on relational breakdowns. We are so excited to share this series with you both via Facebook Live and here on this podcast. Please join the conversation Sunday, October 13th at 5 p.m. live from Facebook. We'll also upload episode 2 of the Relational Breakdown series right here on this podcast. See you soon.